Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good to have all three of those guys. We'll get their first real practice today. You know, so again, managing expectations, let's get them integrated and get them rolling here. There's certainly a conditioning piece. There's a physical piece to it as well, and then there's a schematic piece to it also. So just trying to manage expectations and just take it one step at a time right now, one day at a time.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott from yesterday as the Bills got back to work. It was media day yesterday. We got our first official injury reports, and on that, three players did not practice: Daquan Jones, Josh Palmer, and Taylor Rapp. But with that, to what McDermott was saying there, Harrison was limited, Hoyt full, Larry Ogunjobi full. And four more on the Bills. We go to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio does join the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Good, guys. Good morning to you as well.
So right off the bat for the Bills, the story I think everyone's going to be keeping an eye on now is Maxwell Harrison. He was limited yesterday. What did you see, Sal, from the limited time the media gets to see practice from him? I know some of the videos were very encouraging, at least to me.
Yeah, for sure. For me, too. I think the explosiveness, change of direction, fluidity, it was all there. You saw it on full display. This is the player that was the fastest player at the combine, and a big reason why the Bills drafted him, you know, to add speed and explosion into the secondary. Obviously, unfortunately, he has the sprained knee in training camp, so he wasn't able to participate anymore after that. But I think going out there and watching him yesterday, even through knowing that he had been rehabbing, he had the brace on, we had seen him for a couple of weeks out there with a trainer, I was really encouraged. I was really impressed. So, all signs pointing up, I guess, arrow up for the way Max Harrison looked at practice yesterday.
And his speed, too, Sal, it looks very effortless. Like, that was the big thing of when they drafted him was, you know, it's late in the first round, and you're getting a guy with an A-plus trait. It was his speed. He's a little bit smaller than maybe you'd want. He's coming from Kentucky, right? It's not that premier program or what have you. But in those videos I saw yesterday from both you and your colleagues, man, his speed is effortless.
Yeah, that's right. And, you would think because of the injury, because the brace and all of that, and we couldn't tell for sure. I think he was still wearing a brace underneath. He had pants on, sweats on. I think he still had a brace underneath. But you'd think there'd be a bit of hitch there. I didn't see it. And I want to stop myself even short of going, oh, can he play this week, next week? And I think that might be a little too early, a little ambitious, a little bit, putting the cart before the horse. We'll see, though. We'll see what the Bills' plan is for him. But I thought he looked really good. And, of course, the mental part of it, the reps, being on the field, knowing the defense, understanding, where to be, when to be there, that's got to come as well before the Bills are comfortable putting him on the field.
Mm-hmm. Sal, then I did want to, before I forget, another question in the secondary. Taylor Rapp did not practice yesterday, a knee injury. Remind me if I'm wrong. It sounded like yesterday McDermott was mentioning that he's been dealing with this since, before the season started. That could maybe point to some of the issues he's had this year on the field.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it is something that McDermott said he'd been dealing with for some time now, since before the season started. And I will point out that on Monday night in the game against the Atlanta Falcons, at the very towards the end of the game, he did come out briefly. And I don't recall if he finished that last series on defense, but I remember he did come out, but it was towards the end of the game, so we didn't have an official injury report on him. So that could have been knee-related as well. Also, Sean McDermott kind of didn't really know it yesterday's time if it would be more of a week-to-week or day-to-day type thing. They're still evaluating it. But obviously, it does not sound like Taylor Rapp's in a position right now to be able to be counted on and to be available on Sunday. So what happens there is You're probably looking at Jordan Poyer once again coming in as he was elevated last week. He's still on the practice squad. They have to either elevate him or sign him to the 53. They do have an open roster spot on the 53, but you might need that at defensive tackle because Zion Logue has no elevations left, and they're down to three healthy defensive tackles, even with Larry Ogunjobi coming back, because Daquan Jones is out, obviously, right now.
Sticking on the injuries here, Sal, of course, that's brought to you by the Barnstrom Injured for Help Call, 1-800-8-MILLION. You mentioned it. Daquan Jones also has a DNP on there. Josh Palmer did not practice as well after he suffered that injury in the Atlanta game early on, and it looks like he has not taken part in any snaps Wednesday either.
Right. So now the Bills, you know, will look to the other five wide receivers at this point on the roster because they have six, and they traditionally go with five or six. It has been both. Sometimes it's six. Sometimes it's five with either Curtis Samuel or Elijah Moore inactive. It is important to point out that Curtis Samuel is still on the injury list with his ribs injury. He did practice yesterday, though, in a limited capacity, so that's good. So if you don't have Joshua Palmer, and the way it sounds from Sean McDermott, you're not going to have him because he's called him week to week, and he didn't even rule out Palmer or Daquan Jones going on IR eventually. So we'll see where that goes. And that means that, obviously, the other five wide receivers you'd still have available for you would be Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, if he can go, Elijah Moore and Tyrell Shavers. And then you do have Christian Wilkerson and Steven Gosnell on the practice squad.
Going now to some of the full participants. The cavalry has somewhat arrived for the Bills defense, Sal, with Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi. I know both spoke to the media. I did see one clip from Hoyt mentioning that for the first time in a little while, he got to be a football fan and was, you know, yelling at his TV, the whole thing, but he's ready to go. And yeah, I mean, Sal, I think you even mentioned it yesterday with us that it's sort of like, kind of like almost like a new season because we're getting so many players back that you just haven't heard from or seen in so many weeks.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, three defenders, two of them should play. I can't see Ogunjobi or Hoyt not playing this week. I think that's going to happen. They're going to play. I don't know about Max Harrison. I don't think he'll play this week. You never know. We'll see where it goes with him, but probably not him. But Ogunjobi has to play. I mean, even with him added, and you only have, like I said, three healthy defensive linemen, Ed Oliver, Deion Walker, and him, you could still elevate Jordan Phillips again. Zion Logue, like I said, would have to be signed. Fedarian Mathis can be elevated, but that's it, guys. So they need Larry Ogunjobi to play. They need him to play meaningful snaps, actually, this weekend. Yeah. He's got to be a healthy part of that rotation. So that would give you four defensive tackles, and then counting somebody they bring up from the practice squad. And then you have six defensive ends right now when you add Michael Hoyt in. Now, Michael Hoyt's a bit of a different kind of defensive end. He can play around different parts of the line of scrimmage. He can kick him inside. He can stand up. He can play strong side linebacker if you'd like. He can drop in coverage. So he's kind of a little bit of a chess piece that you can move around the board a little bit. He can play in different situations. And I think that's really, honestly, the reason why the Bills even signed him in the first place, to have those options. But I can see him playing right away. People have to remember, unlike Max Harrison coming off the injury, right, these guys are coming off a suspension list, and they've been able to work out on their own and then even work out with the Bills for the last 3 weeks. They've been at the facility for the last 3 weeks. They just couldn't practice with their team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's different to integrate. And I think a lot, I'd say, smoother and easier to be able to integrate. They did have a lot of reps in preseason and training camp because the team knew this was going to happen.
Curious guys to watch for on Sunday against Carolina, how much they're really going to go. And so, I mean, we listened to the clip from McDermott kind of mentioning, you know, the integration and maybe tempering a little bit of expectation. But as you mentioned, they don't have a whole lot of healthy D tackles. Ogunjobi's going to have to play meaningful snaps. So it'll be curious to see how they do deploy both of those guys.
Yeah, and obviously you're going against a really, really good run offense again in the Carolina Panthers. So they need to be better against the run. And I think these guys can help them against the run. Larry Ogunjobi, his anchor, I mean, his legs, oh my God, they're like tree trunks, right? They're huge. And he's an anchor. And he's a guy that can kind of help out in the run game right there. But, you know, he's a guy that's going to have to be able to, you know, mix in with Deion Walker, with Ed Oliver. And then, of course, you bring in Michael Hoyt as well. And he's a guy that's going to have to be also stout in the run game. But you're going to ask him to do a few different things, obviously, and to get after the passer in those situations as well.
Panthers injury report looks a little enviable in a lot of ways, except for, you know, the starting quarterback. Bryce Young, the only player to miss practice for injury-related reasons. Sal, when it comes to it, we talked about it already, that it might even be kind of scarier to see Andy Dalton in the lineup instead of Bryce Young. Young considered day-to-day by head coach Dave Canales.
Yeah, interesting yesterday that Bryce Young did go out to practice out on the field. He didn't have a boot on. The reporters who were out there said there was no significant type of limp, but he also didn't practice at all, right? So what does that tell me? They're putting him out there just to get some reps throwing the ball, maybe off to the side, working with trainers, but he's probably not, you know, on track to play on Sunday. It's a non-conference game for them. Obviously, they'd love to have their young quarterback, but they have a stable veteran back there, a guy that's seen everything in this league. And when you bring in a team like the Buffalo Bills coming off a bye who would have a plan to say, okay, we're going to get after this young quarterback and show him some things he hasn't seen, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to have Andy Dalton back there who can kind of stabilize things, settle things down. And I would say from my perspective, I think that the Bills, to me, would rather face Bryce Young. Like, that's my opinion. I'd rather see the Bills face Bryce Young as far as chances to win. Now, that said, Bryce Young is more mobile, and mobile quarterbacks have hurt the Bills this year, right? Andy Dalton, he's a guy, though, that's seen every defense in this league. He's seen the Bills defense multiple times. He knows where to put the ball. He knows where to go with it. He does have a young wide receiver core that he'll be working with. But last year, when Andy Dalton was inserted, the first game he played when he went in for Bryce Young, he drove over 300 yards against the Raiders. Like, yeah. Bam, see ya. Like, it's like he comes in and he gives you a spark right there. So I expect that to be something for them. But, guys, I mean, at the end of the day, you can't lose to Andy Dalton, right? You can't lose to Andy Dalton.
Cannot.
And the Bills, this game isn't about Andy Dalton or Bryce Young, really. This game is about stopping Rico Dowdell and Chuba Hubbard and about scoring on your offensive side.
Sal, on that, I mean, you mentioned you can't lose to Andy Dalton. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, me and Derek, right at the top of the show. Like, yes, it's not a conference game. Yes, it's the Carolina Panthers. But it does feel very important. They've never really lost three straight in this run here. McDermott's 8-0 off the bye in his coaching career. And there, I think, there's a wavering patience for Bills fans with this era, with this coaching staff, with really this whole regime. And if all of a sudden the wheels seemingly start to fall off, and again, it's only they'd be 4-3, they're still in a solid position. But this game does feel like it has some level of magnitude for a Sunday non-conference 1 p.m. game.
I agree with you 100%. You know, the Bills over the last several years, I think it's 6 years, Sal Majorana asked this to Sean McDermott. I think each year over the last 6 years, they've lost two straight at some point.
Yeah.
And as you said, knock on wood, they've never lost three straight. The difference has basically been, though, there hasn't been a challenger in the AFC East to have to pass them and then them have to catch up. Now, the 1 year, remember, The Patriots came to Buffalo in the windy Monday night game, and the Patriots were ahead of the Bills in the standings at that point, right? After that, the Bills eventually caught up. There was another year where the Dolphins were ahead of the Bills, and they kind of collapsed in December. But the Patriots have a schedule here that's going to lend themselves to keep winning games. And if the Bills drop another one, and they've already dropped head-to-head to the Patriots, now suddenly you are talking about not only can you win the division, you're talking about are they a team that's going to make the playoffs? And I know that sounds a bit hyperbolic, but it's not. I mean, you can't go to 4-3 here with the Kansas City Chiefs on the horizon in a week.
Absolutely. And I wonder too, Sal, how much watching Drake May play and him kind of do something we've yet to see Tua Tagovailoa do. Like, Tua was the secondary to Josh Allen for all these years, and we've seen the Bills just kind of, you know, brush them aside. May comes in his second year and maybe already looks more impressive with, I would say, definitely worse weapons outside of Stephon Diggs. He's very good, but Hill in his prime, Waddle, Achane. I mean, that offense was loaded for those few years. And May already comes in and in many aspects is a top 10 quarterback. I mean, last week it's against Tennessee, but he completes 91% of his passes or 90% of his passes. Tom Brady didn't even do that. And just, you know, I know we all don't like him, but if you can do something for the New England Patriots that Tom Brady did not do, I think it is somewhat cause for concern for opposing fans.
No doubt. Now, look, they are facing a really good Cleveland Browns defense this
weekend.
Yes,
they are.
Right? And that's going to be a challenge. But, man, I just – the Browns, how can they score? Right? I mean, I can't imagine the Browns putting up enough points. This will probably be a low-scoring game. The Browns will do a decent job against – you know, if Drake May and the New England offense goes out there and just lights up the Cleveland Browns, then you're like, woof. I mean, take notice right there, right? But at the same time, even if they don't, I just don't know if the Browns can score. The Browns right now, despite how – you know, poor they are as a team and how they've looked. Now, they did beat the Green Bay Packers and they did beat the Miami Dolphins. Let's remember that. And I know Miami's not that great, but, you know, I want to at least throw that out there. They are in their rankings, total yards given up per game, first in the league at only 256, rushing yards per game, 82, fourth in the league. passing yards per game, third at 173. So I think the Browns have a fighting chance if they can turn the ball, turn the Patriots over a couple of times and get some short fields and make some points. But at the same time, I just don't think they can score enough points against the Patriots, even if keeping it a low-scoring game against that offense.
Right. We do get the week underway tonight with Thursday Night Football. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz, by the way, getting another start in Minnesota. Sal, I've been one to say it. I'm a J.J. McCarthy truther. I kind of fell for him at, you know, during that draft process. He had like one good quarter of football against Chicago, and that was kind of about it. But I'm about done with Carson Wentz. As a neutral fan, I'm about done watching him play.
Yeah, but I'm not sure what they have in J.J. McCarthy either.
No idea. But they've got to find out soon, right?
Can we remember that last year they had Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones on their roster?
I'm so glad you brought that up. We need to talk about Kevin O'Connell being a QB whisperer, because Daniel Jones spent 6 months in Minneapolis. He goes to Indianapolis, and he's a man reborn.
Yeah, I don't know what the dynamics were behind the scenes of why, you know, what the contract situation and all those that could play into it, but they had Daniel Jones in their building, and look what he's doing right now in Indy. And they had Sam Darnold in their building, and obviously he was very good for them, but at the way the season ended, probably left a sour taste in everybody's mouth.
Oh, yeah.
But now look what's happening in Seattle with him. And then, of course, J.J. McCarthy just does not look like he's ready yet for the NFL in a big role. Interesting game tonight, though, because I think this a lot about the AFC West. Even when I was watching the Broncos-Giants this weekend, and now you have the Chargers playing the Vikings tonight. Mm-hmm. You could look at it one of two ways from a Bills perspective and a Bills fans perspective, which is, do you want the Vikings to beat the Chargers and give another NFC team an AFC loss, right? That would be the normal thing you root for all the time, which is all AFC teams just lose to NFC teams because that's less chances for that team to catch the Bills. Mm-hmm. Or do you want the Chargers to win and remain a half game, a game up on the Chiefs because they already have a head-to-head and they would be 5-3? And the Chiefs right now aren't even in a playoff spot. Like, is that something you root for? I think it's a tough call.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for tonight, too, the Chargers started the year off hot. They lose both their tackles, Rashawn Slater before the year, Joe Alt during the year. And that luster has worn off for them very, very quickly. I think they'll beat Minnesota tonight. But they went from that feeling of, hey, there's your AFC West contender, to very quickly, they're 4-3 and sitting in a situation where it could all kind of fall apart for them. Sal, before we let you go here, the schedule for today, and then, of course, tomorrow, you'll be in these chairs, got Sean McDermott and such, leading into Sunday.
Yeah, guys, so today, the Bills will be back on the practice field 12:25 p.m. They'll have practice today. We'll talk with players again. We'll see how things go with injuries. We'll take a look, and, you know, we didn't talk too much today, and we can talk a little bit more tomorrow about Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano and how they've looked throughout the week, how they progressed. Dalton Kincaid, those are guys that were also limited but practicing, so we'll see a little bit more about them. And then tomorrow, Sean McDermott joins me for his weekly radio interview, and got a couple other things along the way as well tomorrow on a Buffalo Football Friday.
Sounds good, sir. Enjoy the rest of your day. We will talk again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Sal.
Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. By the way, already the first name I've sent to Sal as potentially a new Syracuse quarterback. Braden Fowler Niklausi, I believe is how you pronounce his name. Colorado State quarterback. Hit the transfer portal yesterday. I don't know if he's any good. I don't think he is, but he had a lot of hype 2 years ago.
I love that it took you less than 24 hours to back up your word.
Always ready. Always ready for a fight. I'm always ready. Again, no idea if he's any good. I've watched him play 2 games, and neither one was I impressed. But he hit the portal yesterday because their coach, Jay Norvell, was fired a few weeks ago.
Well, I'm going to intercept what you're doing here, just like how we can make sure to help you let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence help intercept your heating bills. Enter at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. The contest ends on January 4th of 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. I do wonder, like, at some point when it comes to how this Bills season has been going, by the way, like, I feel like this week for me, it's been a little mundane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Bills themselves, we just need to see them on the field again.
Yep. I think that's exactly what it is.
It's been a long bye week.
It's been very long.
It's been a long bye week. And that'll always happen when you have a loss. But it also has not helped, I guess, in my case, that the hockey team has looked interesting in that time off.
No, I mean, like,
someone would tell me, like, yeah. There's 6 Sabres games between the next Bills game. Just to help you with the bitter taste in your mouth on that,
I saw that as a threat.
Yeah, it really did depend on who said it to you, if it was a threat or not.
Well, they were also 0-3 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And did not look competitive in the slightest.
No.
All of a sudden, through four of those six games in between the last time that the Bills have played, they've looked good.
Yeah,
it's been so fun. Thank you, Sabres, for making my time away from the Bills actually relatively enjoyable.
Palatable. I mean, really. Like, I've enjoyed it. Because initially when it was, you're going to have this week, four Sabres games before the next Bills game, I was like, this could get painful fast. Instead, it's been pretty good. And we're only through two of them, and Friday and Saturday could be rough. But at least it's the weekend. I'll deal with it.
And we'll read plenty of your tweets coming up on the other side here as well, because a lot of you have really wanted to get involved with that conversation today. I, however, want to mention something from last night. Calgary. The Saddle Dome. The lights.
Yeah, lights were out.
Half on. And it reminded me, for those that know, you know what I'm about to say, okay? If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. This joke is going to probably clear a lot of you, and I understand that. But that reminded me of 11 o'clock games at Hockey Outlet, okay?
Just sounds cheap. I'm sorry.
No, it, like,
yeah.
Yeah. If you know, you know.
They were trying to get the lights going, and eventually they're like, screw it, we're playing. Just
yeah,
go. Just
they
go.
Kept going. But yeah, oh, no, that's just like one of those, that's a barley game at Hockey Outlet, baby. Let's go.
803.
Fun time. Fun time all around.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll read your tweets and your calls as well when we come back. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Left side of the ice where the Sabres had three skaters. Now they'll play it to the right wing on entry. Right up the middle, a chance for Kozak to the net. He scores. Kozak with goals in back-to-back games, and the Sabres have the lead at 2-1.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. One of the four goals for the Buffalo Sabres last night, Tyson Kozak.
Matter of fact,
one of two assists from Jack Quinn.
Matter of fact, one of the only ways you would have heard Dan Dunleavy.
Yes, it was a TNT broadcast. TNT HBO broadcast.
HBO broadcast. And guess what? Tomorrow night is an ESPN Plus game.
Yeah. Tough run here. Tough run here. Saturday, though, was back on MSG.
Yes.
But a tough run here.
I'm not certain. Is Friday still also MSG, or is it just that it's ESPN Plus? So we're going to look at the schedule real quick.
As you're getting that, though, I'll inform the audience.
It is ESPN Plus, Hulu, Disney Plus. Well, hang on. It says that for all of them, or for a lot of them. So let me get that. Give me a second.
As you're checking that, ready to take your game day to the next level? Enter online now at WGR550.com for your chance to win $300 tailgate tray certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Each Friday, a winner is going to be announced during Football Friday with Shope and the Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. Do we have the answer? Is it just ESPN Plus? Plus all of the other streaming services. Maybe. Yes. No. Potentially.
Give me a second.
I mean, well, it would make sense. It was a 7:30 game. The 7:30 games are typically the quote-unquote national broadcasts.
They typically are.
Yeah. So that would make sense. It was just kind of unfair that we had three in a week. Personally, for me, I hate it.
Yes. It is ESPN Plus. It is a non-MSG game, it looks like, for this one.
Mm. Saturday, though, back to normal. And
Saturday,
five,
back to normal.
And at 5.
Yes. You know what was funny, though? The TNT broadcast twice got that wrong about tomorrow's game.
I know.
They had it still listed at 7:30.
I only saw the one.
It came back the second time, and I'm like, they did it again.
That's bad. It's bad luck. They gave you hours in advance to change it.
Yeah.
Hours in advance. We weren't even on air, and we knew. So
not bad.
Hours in advance, all day.
Not great.
803-0550, the number to call. We've been talking a lot of the Sabres today. They have won three of their last four. They're still under 500, but playing very, very good hockey in an Atlantic division that seems ripe for the picking. There's only two teams, actually, I believe, that have a positive goal differential. No, the Sabres are not one of them. They did play one of them, though, last night in Detroit, and then Montreal, I believe, is the other. But wanted to get your thoughts on where you sit with this team. Are you tuned in? Are you locked in with them? Or, like we took the call a little while ago, Rick,
yes.
Was a little more apprehensive watching the games, but not fully bought in. The emotional hedge is not there yet. I can understand that. I mentioned it. I'm watching them. I'm enjoying them. I'm happy to talk about them. That does not mean I am fully bought in on I'm looking at who could be trade deadline acquisitions and I'm starting to like dream about playoffs and partying the plot. Not there yet, obviously. Again, they're under 500. They could have a very good weekend here against Toronto. They could also lose both of them and be 3-6, and we're all going, cool, okay.
That week in October was fun.
So, and that's going to be true for a little while here with the season starting. They will go through lull periods. They'll also probably be hot periods as well. The key here is to not lose 13 to 15 straight, where it's just like, cool, the season is over. That has been their biggest problem for years. You can complain all you want, and I do too, about the moves they make, the lack thereof, what have you. It has been the lengthy losing streaks that have taken them out of seasons entirely.
So now we talked about this a little bit on Tuesday about, like, you know, what if they, you know, drop 3 or 4 instead? And I want to still try to represent the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to be the representation of this because I am the worst of your impulses. I'm a bad influence on you, and that is my fault. I know what I am.
Mm-hmm. You do.
I'm still never forgiven for 2018.
No.
When I got you super excited for the season, and then they laid a massive egg. So I'm going to stay with it. Again, learning no lessons here. It is about the context to me. It is how they are looking. And if they want to keep playing like this, even with all the injuries that have been happening, and especially with the fact that the top performers are not playing like that right now, your leading scorers with 6 points each are Benson, Quinn, and Doan. The only one that maybe you would have thought spicy enough about to be leading the team in points right away is Benson.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
And yeah, it was more dependent on who you are.
Yes.
If you thought that he had points in him. And rather than just being a smart, good
there were a lot
player.
There were a lot of underlying numbers telling people that Zach Benson is a good player. And this is the opportunity for them to see that out of him. I look at this team and I...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm genuinely curious as to what they are. Paul Hamilton said it great last night on postgame, and I have to agree with him on this. Like, the hate with the, like, I don't know about the word hate, but like the criticism of Kevin Adams. Will it require some walking back if things are playing out the way that they are? And I'm guilty of it. I know that I am. And I'm willing to, like, here's the thing about the Sabres fan base. It can be incredibly forgiving if you give them an entertaining and good season. One that would also require a playoff berth, but there are enough people that want to at least be invested enough to watch them. We have Rick calling us saying, like, I've been betrayed for 14 years. I'm still watching them.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of people in this in the Twitter conversation, you know, excited about this thing. Zach Ben Zizen, I think he's saying like Ben Season or something. Oh, I don't know. Or Ben Zin. Eat, sleep, breathe this team. And yeah, that's kind of what some people have here. Josh at Sashi Man 1 saying, yes, hockey talk. Excited to be able to talk hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher tweeting in, yes, very tuned in. All I want is a solid effort, win or lose. Okay, not win or lose, just win.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, always tuned in. Robert, God, I hope it continues. Jeff, sweep the Leafs and I'll be pulled back in. And if you sweep the Leafs, you mention it. You mentioned the other side of the coin. You lose the Leafs, suddenly you're looking at 3-6.
Right.
Beat the Leafs twice, 5-4, and you've been very much looking like a competent, consistent hockey team. Something that you haven't seen out of the Sabres for a good amount of time. I think that this still needs to be a waited out until the 15-game part of the season to see where they really are. But the context of how is going to be important. Mm-hmm. How is it getting done? Are you playing like this every night? Are you able to overcome some of the deficiencies that have been happening? And then, if you're playing hard like this every night and you're getting your top performers back into the score sheet, things can get real nasty real quick. I want to be optimistic mostly because it's something different. I have begged this team this year. You have one job for me. I do not necessarily care if you are good. I do care that you are different. And here we are, 7 games into the season. It's a small sample size. But you want to talk about different? They look different than the team that played the first 3 games.
That is very true. Like, and that's where, let's for argument's sake, they sweep the Leafs. They're 5-4. In reality, we'd all be talking about it in a positive because it would be 5-1 in their last 6. It would be, okay, yeah, you start off poorly, but you dealt with the Norris injury and power was out and you were kind of trying to figure everything out.
Kesselring's out.
Kesselring is still out. You figured it out and now you're off to the races. And it's not all perfect. As we've mentioned a lot, the top guys are not performing to the level that you'd want, but the depth is. There are still some underlying issues with them, but if you can be 5-1 with all these injuries in your last 6 and start to really stack those wins as well, that's where they're going to get into a good spot. They don't let the Montreal loss from earlier this week compound into another one. Again, they got after Detroit early. And they did so, I think, in a lot of aspects because they knew they had a goalie who was making his first career start, and we're going to make sure his life's not a living hell. We're going to make sure we can get out of this in a good spot. And so they just went after Detroit. They pick up 2 quick power plays. They don't score on either, but it's a lot of quality chances. John Gibson has to stand on his head at times. They've looked very, very good really since the 3-game losing streak to start the year. And that's the positive, is that since the bad start, it's been a good ride, and it isn't necessarily just because a bunch of guys came back. Hell, you don't have Josh Norris, and you won't for a few weeks here. And you're still able to perform very well.
And just as importantly about that is they did it also to the defending cup champions. Yes, mm-hmm. Without Barkov and without Matthew Tkachuk. However, Bobrovsky is no Bush League player in the net. The guy's a Vezina winner. Defending cup champion. They still have Reinhardt, Bennett, Rodriguez, Marchand, all
sprinting
into the lot. You shut them out. And it didn't even look like they were threatening for a long time in that game. You took it to task against a physical team that is willing to bring the lumber. Jacob Bryson gets concussed early in that game. And the Sabres decide, no, we're going to play nasty with you. Brad Marchand has a kind of valid crash out because Dahlin cross-checks him in the back, then tries to hit him again. Plays a little bit of like a nice, finds the way to get away with a little bit of that rat-like tendency sort of thing against the NHL's biggest rat. Gets Marchand to crash out. Should have got it. Honestly, I would have given him a tenner for ripping a helmet apart like that.
I was a little surprised. But he didn't get more.
But hey, NHL officiating and questionable calls. Tale as old as time.
Right.
And then, again, Montreal, it's not like you lost that game the same way you lost the first 3. You mentioned it. If you were a neutral hockey fan, that was an enjoyable game to watch. It's just a shame you didn't get a point out of it. That said, you're not going to be perfect at every opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And like how Lindy Ruff says, you mentioned it. How do you respond to a loss? I'd say a 4-2 game where you dominate possession for a majority of the contest is a really good response.
803-0550, the number 2 call. We go to Tony up next. Tony, how we doing?
Doing good, guys. I'm enjoying the early part of this season. I think a lot of the intangible stuff seems to be on the upswing. Mm-hmm. I think it'll get better defensively with Kesselring, and I think they're buying into to defense. But, you know, even if it's just until you get back Norris, and that's obviously, you know, very up in the air when that's going to be and what he's going to be like when he comes back, I just don't see this being sustainable as weak up the middle as we
right.
are. I mean, you got McLeod kind of – I could deal with McLeod as a second-line guy if it weren't for the fact that you know, my 1C is completely unproven, and I've got nothing at three unless you believe that, you know, Oslin is going to fill it and stay there. I'm just so nervous up the middle of the ice in terms of their ability to, you know, for the other stuff to matter, because yeah. It's just so weak. It's got to be 32 or 32. If you look at the four centers every team is rolling out on a night-to-night basis, all due respect, this has to be the 32nd ranked group of centers in the league right now.
Boston might have a run for that money, even with healthy. But Tony,
Tony's got an argument there.
He's got an argument. But I'm fighting for 31. So you still have the overall point. You are correct about that. The difference is that the Sabres lost their 1C to injury, whereas Boston is willingly trotting out a roster that has, what, Pavel Zacha as their starting center?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, man. Here's their list of centers. Zacha, Mittelstadt, Elias Lindholm, Sean Corrali, Morgan Geekie.
Mm-hmm.
I
actually don't hate Morgan Geekie, though, I will say.
Yeah, but like...
I don't hate Morgan Geekie.
I look at the Sabres center depth chart of like Kulik, McLeod, Oslund, Krebs, and I'm like, okay... I honestly trust Kulik and McLeod more than their depth chart at the top of it with Zacha and Mittelstadt.
Yeah,
in the same neighborhood.
It's in the same neighborhood.
Entirely clear.
And I will say, like, that's where the Norris injury does hurt you.
Because
you're right. You're putting in an unproven guy in Yuri Kulik who's looked good.
He's looked good so far. He got called out after the third game.
Yep.
And he responded really well so far.
But
my favorite thing still from that Detroit game is that Zach Benson hit from Cedar, the interference call. And it's not even Cedar who goes back to try to, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, play defense again after a very blatant interference hit. But Kulik just looks at the nearest Red Wing and starts shoving him.
Yep.
Like, that's clearly a penalty. I'm not going to get a penalty for this.
But that's the intangible stuff that the caller was just talking about. Of like, that's on the upswing.
That's the upswing. And that is also the true definition of being hard to play against. I said it after the Panthers game. Hard to play against also still means requiring enough skill to be a problem on the score sheet as well. That's where Benson and Doan have really thrived. It's where Kulik is kind of trying to settle in. It's honestly, Dahlin can be that a lot of times, hard to play against when he gets into mm-hmm. that pest mode and he really tries to upset players while doing it with some sort of questionable methods. He gets put to the box a couple times sometimes for this sort of stuff, but he does understand there's got to be a little bit of a nasty to the game.
Yeah, but I agree on the point. Up the middle, they are very weak. Ryan McLeod has had a tough start to the year. He's been able to have chunk point games here early, but for the most part, he's not the second line
center. Not a 2C, correct.
And that is, I think that's right. I think that is where maybe the worry comes in, where especially if the top end guys do not start performing, how much is Josh Doan going to really be able to carry you? How much are we really going to be able to have those Jack Quinn games where, I mean, we mentioned it, he does it under 12 minutes of ice time, but he has 3 points. But is that going to be a sustainable thing?
And all eyes are going to be now on the question of what's Jason Zucker's injury status going to be like for Friday.
Yep.
So that's going to be another one there. If there's another call-up, that doesn't look good for that at the very least. But there's still opportunity there. If you take an injured squad and put the business to Toronto, even if you split it,
mm-hmm.
I'm here.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Before we hit our next timeout, enter at WGR550.com for your chance to win a free home heating system courtesy of T-Mark Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans. You wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether your home needs a furnace, boiler, or ductless heating pump, T-Mark's got you covered. The last day to enter is October 26, 2025. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. This is WGR.
No. Tyson Koscheck. Like that one?
I wasn't ready for it.
You've been working on your skating in the offseason. This is impressive.
You want far to get over here.
Zach. Oh, yeah,
who are Tyson Koscheck. I just scored, didn't I?
Who are your early favorite cup winners right now? Early favorites.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Shaquille O'Neal there.
Tyson Koscheck.
With the TNT crew last night. His NBA also is getting underway this week. I love Shaq. I love that whole Inside the NBA crew. Like, it's such a good crew.
They're still a good crew on a different network, but it's okay.
It's fine. It's still, but I think for me, it's the core group.
It's that group.
It's still there.
I do like that they're still in the studios too.
No idea what you're talking.
That was great though. Like, hey, who's your cup favorite? Yeah, no, don't ask me that.
Brave to ask that question, and I commend the host for doing that.
Yes, but that was still just genuinely funny. Of like, hey, yeah, who's your cup favorite? Nope. Nah, man.
Not a shot, dude.
Nah, man.
You're lucky you got Tyson Koscheck out of me, all right?
Yes. I mean, he did give us Shaq Hyman.
That's right.
In the playoffs, and then Tyson Koscheck.
By the way, speaking of the NBA, we did mention it right at the top of the show, and we've only got a few moments here left. But again, if you have not heard, multiple arrests have been made involving the NBA with the FBI's federal gambling investigation sitting Portland Trailblazers coach Chauncey Billups, and then Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier. They're not connected in the exact same thing. It sounds more like Billups was involved in an illegal poker ring that involved the mafia and everything like that. I have not been able to listen to it. We've been doing the show while it's been going on. The FBI did have their press conference, but this is a pretty insane thing right at the start of the season as well.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Hey, the NBA season opened up.
Portland's first game was last night.
And their coach is arrested.
Yeah. Portland's first game was last night against Minnesota. Today, they are likely looking for a new head coach. He's probably out forever.
Wild.
We'll see what happens there. Sabres Live coming up next. This is WGR.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.